of Steam, Steel, and Murder is back again with a session zero to our new Dresden Files accelerated game. The players were Michael, Steven, Nick, and Jameis. Folks, if you haven't already, join us on one of our social media connections. We use Facebook, Google Groups, Twitter, and Discord. Links to all of these can be found on our landing page at bluemagic.com. That's BLUMAGIK. Or of steamsteelandmurder.simplecast.fm. Show notes and comment fields for each episode can be found there as well. Enjoy! All right, well, welcome to our session zero of our Dresden Fate Accelerated Adventure. Tonight we are joined by a cast of players who are not going to be playing their normal characters. We are going to kick this whole thing off with the inciting incident, and they will be playing normal, run-of-the-mill, nothing special about them human beings. And we kick off with Nick. Describe your character, please, Nick.
I will be playing Galen Wayside. Mr. Wayside is a young man with a far-off, dreamy look in his eyes. He's early, very early 20s. Long black hair that has been unkept, and piercing blue eyes whenever he manages to focus on something, which is not often.
Mm-hmm. And give me the two core aspects, the core aspect and your trouble.
His core aspect is a brilliant scion of an old family, and his core trouble is, how did I phrase it? It is living up to father's expectations.
Hmm, okay. Sounds good. And Steven?
Hey, this is Steven, and I will be playing the disposable character, Joe Chambers. He is a Navy Seabee, and he's got kind of perpetually bloodshot eyes, but otherwise seems to be in good shape. The stumbling, nothing to be worried about. His high concept and trouble are Joe Schmo trying to survive and drunken CB. which is which, I'm not saying.
And Michael.
I am playing Harlow Hendrickson, a slick young man with an overactive vocabulary, which I will attempt to enact at every possible juncture.
Okay. And your two main aspects?
Conniving research aid and not as smart as I say.
Nice. If the rest of you guys, if you notice, Michael has changed his name for his temporary character today. If you guys can do that with yours as well. And Jameis.
This is Jameis playing with a loud keyboard, which Bert will no doubt complain about now.
Complaint registered.
So I'm playing a pilot by the name of Jack Dalton. Yes, that reference. Somewhat shorter, rather pudgy man, and rather worn leathers, pilot sort of leathers. He has his own seaplane. In fact, that's his main aspect. Owns his own waterplane, and he's in debt quite a bit.
All right. So that reference, that is from Tales of the...
No, that's no? Monterey Jack.
Oh, okay, okay, yeah, all right.
Which is also a reference to another property.
All right, we're going to kick off the scene. It is summer, 1980. You are all in Jack Dalton's seaplane, heading out to the small island of Adak, Alaska, in the Aleutian Chain. You are a group of students attending with your professor, Professor Challenger of the Alaskan University here, who is his field of study is cultural anthropology. You're being called out. Adak, Alaska is primarily a Navy base. It is an island, as I said, in the Aleutian Chain. And you've been called out because while doing some construction, they're bidding down a new tarmac, putting in a new airfield, they unearthed something that might be culturally relevant. And with new sensitivity laws that are in place before things are wrecked, they are having someone come out and basically just do an analysis, see if it's anything that is relevant that should be kept or removed carefully. And your group has been challenged to do just this. So Professor Challenger has three student aides. Michael, you're playing one of them. The other two are Sherry and Miss Tate, also in their final years of grad school. There is a fair amount of equipment on board, including several Betamax recorders, a few tape decks, and lots of sketching pads, and just a little bit of archaeological sifting tools. Not a lot to do a big area, but if you just need to do a little bit of brushing and chiseling, you guys have some gear for that. You're going to be met at the current airbase by a Navy man who's going to take you out to the site. So, Jack, what was your character flaw again?
In debt.
In debt, okay. Good. Fair weather today. Got the radio playing. Spotty reception, as is fairly normal out here. But the radio traffic is coming in pretty well. You are going to land just off the shoreline and be able to tie up on one of the many wharfs here. You have been warned. Of course, you know this yourself, that there's still a lot of unexploded World War II ordnance that often washes up to shoreline. And it's a thing that lots of boat pilots and seaplane pilots know to avoid or to look out for. But of course, the mandatory warning again of unexploded ordnance, be careful. This was really a thing.
Okay.
Yep. I remember living out there during the very early 80s, and they would have radio reports occasionally of people finding unexploded ordnance and accidentally setting them off.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're coming into land. If you look out to your right, you'll see the naval base there we were heading for. And for those of you who have seatbelts, please do them up now. And thank you for flying with Dalton Airways.
You look around frantically and you notice that his airplane doesn't actually have seat belts. They just have the little oh shit bars that you grab onto. Looks like the pilot has a seat belt though. All right. Well, let's just get things moving.
Is the plane rocking so deep badly that I can't read?
Yes. Yes. This is the kind of plane that is affectionately known as puddle jumpers. Seaplanes. Mm-hmm. That this is how people get around through the Aleutian Chain in lots of parts of Alaska. Single prop planes, very unsteady, very ungainly in the air.
Mm-hmm. And it sounds like you've got five people on there.
It's about the maximum. Jack, let's have you bring her in for a landing there.
Okay.
Yep. You're having fair weather, so that's not too bad, but coming along coastline here and tying up to a docks is not the easiest job you've ever done. So we're looking for a fair result on this.
All right.
And how are you approaching it?
Well, if this sounds like I'm going to probably be battling with the winds a bit in the sea to try and get the plane to go where I want it to go.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Bert. Well, Jameis, you can kill us all and cut this adventure short right now.
I am trying to pay attention, so just keeping an eye on exactly where I'm trying to go, and just as well, because my force wasn't that great.
Oh, you're forcing it in?
No, I'm focused.
Oh, okay. All right, so you do in fact make fair, and it is a solid landing. comes to a jostle, and you taxi in, where a Navy man throws over a rope for you to secure it off. So you've got these pontoons on the end of your plane. can use as a stepping platform to get onto the dock. The professor is already going through inventory, having the students carefully move all the cases of equipment out.
Of course, I'll be smarmily helping the ladies out from the plane.
I don't think there are any ladies.
Yeah, there are two students. Two other students.
I look around going, holy hell!
Get your nose out of a book more often, boy.
Oh.
Yep.
I pull out my luggage, which is 90% books and 10% mismatched clothing.
Rucksack. You're probably going to be here. Initially, it may just be a couple of days, but it could stretch into a week. So you are all asked to provision thusly. Okay, Joe Chambers, you are the Navy man that is out on the wharf throwing the rope out for Jack to tie on.
I was thinking I was not in the plane, and now I'm very thankful. So I do the quickest knots ever in the Navy, going for that record. Don't make it, but it's okay. I mean, I tried my best, and I pat myself on the back. Welcome to the island, and I give them the name of the particular island and or base.
Adak, Alaska.
Adak. How is that even spelled?
A-D-A-K.
Welcome to Adak, Alaska. What brings you folks by? You look, you the academics we're supposed to be expecting?
Yeah. Yes? Maybe?
The professor pushes you aside.
Yes, I understand you have some culturally relevant artifacts you wish us to look at.
As he adjusts his very round glasses on his very large red nose.
Nope, we got some strange stuff that we need you to tell us if it's culturally important nonsense or whatnot.
Well, that's what I'm here
for. I don't
care.
You'll take us to our hotel to start it with. We'd like to wash off these.
Hotel. I'm sorry. Did you not hear me when I said this was Adak, Alaska?
Well,
there is no hotel.
Actually, what you're seeing a picture of is the site. Adak, Alaska is home to many servicemen, and they. There's these pastel colored prefabricated houses that they're just airdropped in. So they all kind of look the same and they're all colored these bright pastel colors. There is a single apartment complex that Navy personnel use as they first come in waiting for a house to open up or as they're leaving to stay in before they're shipped out. So that's where this group will be staying, is in this apartment complex.
Dormitories. Yeah, we got dormitories, sir. Yep.
There's actually a mall here too. It was put in just last year. It's got a skating ring, a bowling alley, a pizza place, and a bookstore.
Skating alley, skating rink, and a bowling alley? Man, what don't they have?
A bookstore.
And a bookstore, yes.
And a bookstore. The only thing they don't have is an arcade system.
I put my head out of the puddle that I got knocked into. A bookstore, he said.
Yes, as I rattle off the narrator's description of the mall and surrounding environments.
Professor, he said they have a bookstore. Can I visit?
Well, we'll see if there's time for all that. I want to get these aviation fumes off of my clothing and get to the site. Post haste. Here! And he slams his satchel into your hands. Carry this for me, boy.
Sir, fumes are metal things that are suspended in air and not hydrocarbon. He's left me with this bag. Oh, no.
The girls come up to either of your side and give you a there on each of your shoulders as they start lugging the heavy equipment off the plane.
I'll be making sure the plane's tied down properly.
Yep. Jack, you are staying here as well. You've been contracted out for the week. But yes,
they won't suspect to find you here, Jack. You have that.
Good place to hide out from creditors. That's right. I help Jack with tying down planes and checklists for that sort of thing. And I don't help the individuals with the heavy luggage at all. Could be sensitive equipment. I'm not going to be liable for it.
Yeah. It is a fair amount of luggage. One of the reasons why, Jack, your plane was more off kilter than normal. You were actually flying overload. Not that you mentioned this to anyone since it was a good paycheck. But Professor Challenger, seeing the student struggling with the various equipment and baggages, comes over to Jack and says, "Oh, Mr. Dalton, would you perhaps be interested in making a little extra compensation? It seems I've failed to bring enough aids with me, and I could use a strong back, Mr. Dalton."
And a very, very false smile. "Yes, of course."
"Ah, excellent, excellent. I understand there's a watering hole on this island somewhere," and he pulls off a 50 and hands it to you. "Have a little down payment."
"Thank you, it disappeared, don't
you?" "Yep. Sounds like our troubles just got tapped, and we deserve 8 points.
It was just somewhere getting into the story.
Pretty much. This is not going to negatively infect him, other than death. I mean, well, you know.
We got to train Burr to give out fate points.
It's going to affect him later when he has the opportunity to go to the watering hole and when he shouldn't.
Yes, yes. How much he has at the watering hole. Actually, Jack doesn't have the alcohol problem. Jack has the money problem.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. I have the alcohol problem, so I'm going to try to get the money from him. And he's going to try to keep me from being drunk. There's already inter-party conflict.
Mm-hmm. Harlow, you are stuck with one of the larger containers of equipment. Two girls are pulling their own weight, but they're much daintier than yourself.
Don't we have a Jeep or something?
There is a Jeep that they're all heading towards to pile it all on, which Joe Chambers is rated to drive, or at least that's what it says on his rating sheet.
I have neither forceful nor haste in anywhere reasonable.
You're not sure how such a rotund man as Professor Challenger can carry this valise here. You're quite sure there's nothing but lead in it.
Oh my gosh.
Distinct mumbling under breath.
Yeah. I will buck up and not complain, for Father would not want me to.
All right, Joe, you get everybody in the Jeep, drop them off at the apartment complex. You guys have been assigned three adjoining rooms. The rooms all have doors that will connect. You're on the third floor. Professor Challenger is shocked to be informed that there is no food accommodations. You've got to go out to the mall to get food. There are small kitchenettes in each room, so if you wanted to get your own groceries and cook, you're welcome to. The island gets exactly one channel of reception on its television. There are at least color televisions, amazingly.
Local military channel?
Rebroadcast, yes. So it's essentially it is a military channel, but they take programs from all the major affiliates, ABC, CBS, NBC, and they kind of mishmash it all together.
I Love Lucy is still on there. Also Gilligan's Island and yes. Brady Bunch.
Lots and lots of Saturday morning cartoons. The interesting thing about ADAC is it is a fairly extensive island populated solely by military personnel and their families. So one of the reasons the mall went in is because you've got nothing to do on this island. So, yep, you're all set up. Professor Challenger goes to clean off the fumes, as he says, and get himself kitted out for the expedition that he is thrilled to get started with. You're all left to fight amongst yourselves as to which room is yours. Professor Challenger takes the center room. thereby using the main area is going to be your set up to be your office space and to do work in.
I would like to set up in one of the rooms adjacent to the professor's.
Mm-hmm.
Presumably, I've been assigned to deal with these civilians, correct?
You have been, yes.
But I otherwise have lodging elsewhere.
Correct.
I look both helpless and lost. Simultaneously, at the same time.
Well, the students include two women and two men, so there are two rooms free. So the girls take the other room.
Oh. You both lost your chance.
I look around. Oh, there was a chance? What was the chance?
As the door closes in the background quite firmly.
Oh.
Has no one ever given you a hustler or anything of the sort?
My father doesn't like gambling in pool halls. So I'm afraid I've never been to one of those. Although I believe...
You're in luck, because we only have a bowling alley, so we'll have to do gambling there instead.
Oh, I look around for the other boy and notice he has also closed this door and go, fuck, I have fallen in with the disreputable element. Oh, no.
You're in the Navy now.
Having a little simple little card game. I'm sure your father wouldn't object to a little cards.
Well, you know, I've always found probability to be an amazing study. What type of game shall we play?
So, Jack, nothing's actually been designated for you, but you notice that Challenger's room has got a comfy couch.
Yeah, no, I'm going to be coming out here hustling Galen. Me and Joe are going to hustle Galen.
Yep. So, throw your books and your baggage in there and come with me and Jack, was it?
Yep.
Yep. Come with your pals, Joe and Jack. We'll man you up.
I don't know.
Good, we do. Let's go.
All right, before you can go, Challenger has taken a very quick shower. Yeah, slams open his bedroom door.
Oh, thank God, the professor.
Dressed. Yes, he's completely dressed in cold weather gear. Sensible shoes. He's got a nice pick and a can in one hand, backpack on. He looks around at the group and says, I thought you would all be ready. Come now.
Ready to go to the bowling alley?
No. Take us to the site.
All right, fine. Bowling alley later, though, Galen. Be ready.
Do we need cold weather gear for the site?
What time of year is
it? It is Alaska. It's summer in Alaska. People that have lived here for a while. Yeah, like,
but if we're looking at that picture, I'm not seeing a lot of snow right where we are.
Right.
If we're going to the mountains, sure. But, you know, so whereabouts?
It depends on your constitution. It is a bit chilly, but it's not like below zero.
The professor sounds like he's geared up to go full hiking in the tops of the mountains.
Yes, he is.
I'm just saying, is that what we should expect, or is that a bit extreme? We're looking at Joe here to try and give me guidance to what the sort of outfit should we be
looking at? Nah, you're fine with your bomber jacket. Quite stylish, by the way. I like it. It's just out in the field. We've set in more or less a big hole in the ground at the moment. We won't need half that stuff. Why do you have an ice pick?
He looks at it. This is Shirley. I bring Shirley everywhere. You never know when a good ice pick can come in handy. He gives you a wink.
Oh, no.
Actually, I do know when a good ice pick will come in handy. When I have ice. I don't got no ice. Let's go. Back to the Jeep. The ladies ready?
They are. And they're coming out in, again, some serious boots. jeans and just, you know, thick coats. That's about it. They each have a backpack of gear on. Mr. Harlow, you doing anything in particular to get ready? It doesn't look like Challenger's bringing the full complement of gear. What are you choosing to bring with you? Looks like the girls both have the backpacks that contain the Betamax recorders.
Imagine chisels, brushes.
Okay. All right. So you're going to bring the archaeology gear.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How stout of a guy is Harlow?
I have a force of... Oh, sorry. He's not very sturdy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think
so you take the essentials then. A couple of small hammers, chisels, a couple of brushes, nothing special. Art pad and some pens and pencils, that sort of thing.
Yeah, he'll forever weasel out of as much hard labor as he can.
Okay. And what did you think to pack as far as clothing? What are you wearing?
I've probably thrown on a heavier overcoat over top of the jacket I was already wearing.
Okay. Fair enough. Galen, looks like everyone but you is ready to go out.
Oh, this is like every day of my life.
Oh, put down the valise over here, Galen. It tells you.
Oh, okay. I'm going to need a couple minutes. Thank you, Professor.
Yes, yes, yes. We'll meet you in the car, Galen.
Absolutely, sir. I look so relieved to see him. I've never looked more relieved to see him in my entire life.
Mr. Chambers, if you would allow us to pack our gear into your Jeep. Galen, hurry along, my boy. Hurry along.
That's what it's there for. Let's get a move on. Daylight's wasting.
Open the door for the ladies after you, ladies.
Actually, how long are the days in summer in Adak, Alaska?
Let's just say there's a day and just leave it there.
Yeah, it's they are longer, shorter nights, longer days, but I don't remember the exact timing. But you guys are getting here midday, so there are hours and hours and hours of daylight left.
So a good probably 6 or 8 hours left.
Mm-hmm. Right. Galen, what did you think to pack?
A camera, a fancy pants camera.
Okay.
Several, and then like every possible reference that I would need. So I'm going to pull out a couple of language references and put those in my bag. And then I have my fancy ass walking boots that might not be. Well, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And then I'm just kind of in summer gear.
All right. Fair enough.
Yeah.
So other than a fancy camera, do you bring any other gear with
you? Camera, books, notepads, pens, that kind of and a couple of, you know, language books for the known residents of the island.
Sure. Various Inuit language.
Mm-hmm. Omniscient voice in the sky. Am I expected to be an armed guard or just
You are armed. You have a pistol sidearm.
Oh. All right.
Yep. That's actually more for safety for wildlife because there are wolves and. Yeah.
There's wolves?
Yeah.
Oh, this is an island in Alaska.
Yeah. Believe it or not, wolves swim. They swim between islands when need be.
Oh.
There's also bear.
See what this is for the wolves. We'll swim between islands. It's strange but true.
I'm sure your 22 is going to help out with the wolves,
son. This is the Navy. There's no 22s.
Not since invading the Philippines.
Yeah, I'm sure that you're going to be a crack shot. Absolutely.
Ooh. Can we say I have a rifle then?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, Jack, probably one of your main sources of income is piloting hunters out to various places.
Yeah. Well, so, for much the same reason as they'd have a And against wildlife, I would need something myself anyway, so yep. It wouldn't make sense for me to have a rifle.
So the question is, did you leave it in the plane or did you bring it with you?
I will say I brought it with.
Okay.
Considering that we were going to go out and about. Yeah.
Hunting rifle, Joe probably wouldn't even bat an eye at that.
No, but it's something. It's not nothing.
Oh, yeah. It's going to help against the outsiders.
You don't know about them.
Yeah. That's why I'm using this voice rather than this one.
All right. So by the time you get out there, Galen, Joe has already got the Jeep packed and ready to go. And he's just about leaning on the horn as you come out the door.
I do the thing where I look around because I can't see. I don't know where it's coming from. Like,
And I pack them in like sardines because it's a Jeep and there's five of them. Or actually, there's more than five of them.
Yeah, six of us. Yeah, us, sir.
And me. Right. So that's seven.
No.
So you drive across the very bumpy terrain. There is a road that goes out of the center of town.
He avoids it.
But pretty soon you're basically on just dirt trails, and about 30 minutes of driving, not because of distance, just because the terrain is so difficult to travail, even through a Jeep, you come to what you're seeing on the screen here. It is, there's some construction going on. There's some caterpillar trench digging, heavy machinery around, lots of tents set up. You can see the kind of World War II era, I forget what they're called, the metal Quonset huts in the background.
Right.
Those are actually covering up construction. It's to just keep the elements off of what they've already been building. And Joe, you bring them into camp. There's several other CBs that are, you come in just around mealtime. There's a campfire out. People are just eating cans of bean and whatever other food they've rustled up, having good times. And people are throwing a football around. No work's going on right now. This is break period. So you guys roll up into camp, and the excavation site is actually this hut in the very background right there that they unearthed something that they wanted to check.
It's a Quonset hut.
Locals.
We still have those.
Mm-hmm. World War II relics.
Know your terminology. Good on you, Galen.
Oh, yeah. I read about it when we were taking back these islands from the dirty Japs.
People forget that about that. Dirty shame.
Dirties. Dirty, dirty men.
Nothing against all you wonderful Japanese that are apparently counting for 60% of the podcast downloads right now.
Nope, I got nothing against you, but you know, I'm playing a character in the 80s.
We love the Japanese.
Yeah.
Raise your hand if you like anime. That's everybody, even though you can't see it.
I mean, you know.
That doesn't necessarily help.
Yep. All right. Moving right along.
Yeah. So you roll into this camp amongst all these sailors that are just having fun. A lot of them are going wearing shorts and are bare chested, even though it is quite cool out.
We're accustomed to it by now.
Yeah. That's the thing. Once you get accustomed to it, it's like, oh, it's a nice, fine, sunny day. Woo.
Yep. Exactly.
It's not below freezing.
It's too warm.
Yeah.
All right, Jack. Commander on this quote base comes out. He was expecting you guys. He gets a nod to you, Joe. They're pretty informal amongst the CBs. I mean, if you're, you know,
do a half-hearted salute. Battalion,
yeah. Hey, welcome, Joe. They just started a hand of poker over there. If you're interested, I know you always. Looking to score a little libation. I think that's what they're playing for today.
Got to get my allotment of grog.
Professor Challenger, I believe. And, you know, Professor holds out his hands, unfamiliar with saluting and such. Oh, yes. Myself and my crew here all ready to dig into the site. Well, I don't so much know that it's a site. Some peculiar artifacts were found. Don't want to sully your first impression. So he hands Professor Challenger the keys. We lock the site up just to keep any looky-loos out. Have a look around. Take notes. I see you've brought cameras, some recording gear. Good, good. Now we will have to have that gone over by the top brass here before we let you leave with it, of course. We don't want any military secrets going out, of course. You might inadvertently catch something in a frame that we don't want out there. You understand. But I'll leave you to it. Make your impressions, and I will see you all in a bit. And he cracks a beer, hands it to Joe.
I clink beers with him, and I head off.
All right. Challenger starts handing out orders as to what equipment to take. Jack, you are kind of grouped into this.
Yeah.
You're handed a Betamax recording case.
Yeah. Chris, how about I take care of the keys and some of the administrative stuff so you don't have to worry about it?
Oh, certainly, certainly. Good man, good man.
So I have an onerous burden of trying to carry the key. Ooh. Okay.
All right. You guys get to the hut. Basically, it's a corrugated steel, quick manufacturing job. It's a cylinder, half cylinder tube. Both ends are welded shut. This one end has a door, and someone has kind of rigged a padlock onto it. That's what the key goes to. Mm-hmm. Open it up, and of course it's quite dark in here as there are no you're getting a little bit of sun filtering through the rivet holes.
Let's see, the corrugated
material. Well, you look sun around generator. Yep. You look around, and yes indeed you do find a fire button. Kick on the generator and a bunch of lamps turn on, and what you're looking at is they had started excavating the ground, leveling off. There are certain things that you're going to want to put underground to keep from freezing over. This is the time of year when you want to do any digging, because otherwise it's like almost impossible to dig through the dirt just with this as cold as it gets. So they've only gotten down a couple of feet, everything leveled off, and they've unearthed. It looks like an oddly black stone pillar. Okay, so it comes out of the dirt. They've only exposed about 2 feet of it. The sides are jagged, but it looks like it might have been worked at some point in time. And when I say odd, it's black, kind of like maybe basalt, but it doesn't. There's no glisten or shine to it. It is like the blackest black you've ever seen. There's no reflection. It's matte. There's nothing in it that sparkles. It's just black.
Like, is it sort of that dimension of like 4 by 9 by 16?
Well, you don't know. You're only seeing what you think is the tip of the iceberg. Also, around the base of it, it looks like they had started finding remains. Like you see a femur. There's an oddly shaped skull. Most of it is still buried in the sand, in the rock, in the dirt. Once they started finding it, they kind of quickly just left it alone.
The girls start taking pictures.
Yeah. The girls, having done this with Challenger before, are already setting up the special lighting canisters or the little umbrellas, you know, so they cast just the right amount of light on what you're trying to photograph and film. So they work really well together. They have done this before with Professor Challenger. Harlow and Galen, what are you guys doing?
I'm getting ready to take my shots, and you know, so that way I can take the appropriate pictures.
You take out this very nice camera. I mean, obviously top of the line. The girls kind of snigger at you though as they take out their video recorders. The Betamax units.
My Nikon.
Well, to be fair, we want to get close-up photo pictures with the camera. Otherwise, just trying to take still image off of Betamax video is not going to be good.
Yeah.
Also, yeah, resolution's going to be way better. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Still, they snigger a bit. It's 1980, Galen.
I When? Since when? When did that happen?
So it's January the 1st, kid.
Oh!
Harlow. Well, Harlow, what have you taken up to be your job?
Has the professor jumped into doing anything yet?
He's just kind of over. He's walking around the site. He's kind of muttering his impressions into his little dictaphone that he's got. He's got like a little miniature tape recorder he's just mumbling into. This, again, you guys have been around Professor Challenger for a while. Before he touches anything, he likes to make first impressions. So he's just kind of walking the site, walking around the edges.
Then I will be
Joe, this is
taking notes occasionally.
Okay, I'm sorry. I stepped on what you were saying there. Say it again, please.
I'll be following him around, okay, listening to what he is saying, and then taking notes if I find anything of interest that he says.
So are you transcribing or just taking highlights?
Highlights enough so I'll kind of remember what he said later.
Mm, okay, very good. Joe, this is a Navy
gambling time
base? No. Well, technically, they need a military escort. Whether or not you stay is up to you.
Duty, you butt gambling. Well, it's not drinking, so I take the beer with me.
No one told you to stay with them, but I mean, you know what the codes say. They should have an escort, but
I can entertain myself by thinking about shooting them all. Yes, there we go.
Galen is such a nice young man. This is
rude comments about his masculinity. There we go.
As you drink your beer. Looks like they got a shipment of Coronas in.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's the other thing about the Aleutian Chain Islands. Everything has to be flown in, so things have to be ordered well ahead of time, and sometimes you have no idea what's coming in.
Yep.
What? The Navy doesn't use boats? Shocking.
All right. So, yeah, and because I have my books, and obviously I'm some kind of language man, I want to be looking for any inscriptions or possible pictogrammic languages.
Okay, so no one has walked onto the site yet. You're going to be the first one to walk down into the pit?
No, because if I do that, the professor might actually murder me. So I'm not.
Okay, so you're just kind of doing it from... Actually, your camera probably has zoom. If it's a nice camera, it probably has...
Yeah, it's a super nice camera.
Yeah. Okay, I tell you what. Give me a focus, approach as you're trying to make out detail using your camera.
That's the different character. Okay. Could I perhaps do this with flair? I don't know.
How would you describe it in with flair?
I wouldn't.
If you're telling the rock outcropping to lean to the side, show me the pouty lips.
No, he just has to shout, "Work it, baby, work it, baby." There you go.
All right, one.
Yes, A1.
There does seem to be some iconography on it, and it's very interesting. As I had said, it doesn't reflect the light. There's nothing on it that's particularly shiny. It's just like a pool of black, like the darkest black you've ever seen. But there does seem to be some kind of etching on the surface. It reminds you, as you said, you're kind of into languages.
Yeah.
The last time you've seen anything, this is clearly not Inuit script, but it resembles Rapa Nui script.
Oh. So
are you, Nick, familiar with Rapa Nui?
Not at all.
Easter Island.
James raises his hand. Yes.
Yep. They are pictograms. Often the pictograms have things like aquatic, fish, birds that hunt from the water, all kinds of little iconographics.
It's the headman. It's the giant headman, I say.
He'll stare at you.
Both of the girls swing their Betamax recorders over to you as you're.
the language, the script. It isn't Inuit. It's rapa blah 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 blah.
And that's exactly what you say. The professor looks up and says, "Oh, you found something, Galen."
Yes, I will show him on my camera.
Okay.
You wouldn't have pre-screens at this point.
Oh, but I could set up a tripod and have it focused, so that way he could just come over here and look.
It's probably what you've done with a nice camera like that, set up a tripod. Yeah, he squints through it. He sees the script. He says, "Oh, yes. Harlow, bring some paper. We're going to take a rubbing." And he is the first to step into the site.
Yeah, because, you know, he gets the curse and I don't. Nee.
I oblige, of course.
Okay. You are kind of hot on his heels anyway. So you pull out some charcoal and some paper. And he approaches, and he sees the script on it, but then he kind of takes his hand and rubs it over the script, and he says, "Interesting. It seems to be inlaid within the material. It has no definable ridges. Harlow, here, rub this. See if you can feel anything with your more sensitive fingers."
Indeed. Fascinating, sir. It'd be quite obvious to see the ridges, and yet you can't.
You're used to rubbing when the professor asks you to, right, Harlow?
Now. This wasn't talked about in the 80s. It was merely accepted and never talked about.
Okay. Well, I mean, I can understand.
Harlow, so the surface is smooth. Like, you rub your finger over the etching that Professor Challenger has pointed out. The other odd thing about it is that the room is being heated. They do have, when you kicked on the generator, not only lights, but some heaters went on. But the surface of the material, I mean, you're thinking it's some kind of stone, but it's smooth, very smooth, like you're touching a very well planed piece of steel, and it's cold. It's like really cold to the touch.
Not smooth like glass?
Hard. I mean, like, it gives the impression of being a very hard mineral, a hard stone.
Like,
but incredibly, could be incredibly smooth though. There are no dimples. You don't feel any blemishes in it. There are quite obviously jagged edges. That make it look like it's a rock outcropping, but the surface is incredibly smooth when you run your fingers across it.
I will actually inspect the jagged parts to see if they are in fact smooth.
No need to roll for it. Very smooth enough that without really realizing it, you sliced a finger. It's just very, very sharp.
Does it suck up his blood?
Oh no, Harlow, you don't really even notice until you bring your finger back, and then there's a bead of blood that starts seeping.
Does he notice the corruption spreading along his veins?
I don't know what game you're in. I don't
notice anything that's about to turn me into a zombie or anything.
Oh, no. I've played your games, Bert. I've played your games.
So, in your examination of it, the top looks like it was shattered at some point. And the edges are all very smooth but very sharp. Angular, jagged, which also leads to the impression that it might have been a worked piece of material because it is so smooth. But at some point, it's taken damage. The top of it's been sheared off or broken or shattered, perhaps. Perhaps this is more of a mineral.
And it extends further into the ground, correct?
Oh, yeah, much so. You got the impression that this is the proverbial tip of an iceberg.
Thinking about the shattering that you are mentioning,
Can I see whether or not it was like chisels or kind of environmental tearing?
Give me a roll.
Okay. Intellect.
Intellect sounds about what you're describing.
Yeah. The smarty pants boy who is smart will do the smart thing. He does it smartly.
Yes, you do. It's a good result. So it looks like it was more natural forces because you're not seeing any tool marks. You're not seeing signs of like trauma. Actually, what it looks more to you is like shearing force. Like it was underground. Maybe there was a seismic event and the top of it got sheared away.
Interesting. Okay. Looking at the bones, can I tell whether or not they were what race they were?
And most of it's still covered with dirt. I mean, you're seeing what looks to be a femur sticking out. You're seeing what looks like a jawbone, but most all of it's still buried.
Okay. Well, I guess I'm going to start working.
All right. Professor lays a hand on your shoulder and says, let's make sure we thoroughly photograph and record the area before we do any excavation, young Galen. They're there. They're there. He strokes your hair.
Oh, no. No. I look around for an adult to help me.
Joe's drinking beer. I think Jack's just reclining near the...
Oh, no.
Yeah. I'm playing a game of poker with Jack.
Oh, yeah, I was going to be off chatting with Joe.
I regret many decisions in life now.
All right, so the girls very carefully are recording the scene. Again, they seem to be pros at using this equipment and with Professor Challenger. Galen, this is a good opportunity to take close-up pictures, that sort of thing as well. Yep. So
you guys spend
the better part of an hour making sure that you get every conceivable angle, close-up pictures before anything is disturbed. Okay. Galen, you're still standing next to Challenger, taking down things he's mumbling into his voice recorder, I take it.
Not Galen.
Harlow.
Yep.
Of course.
Okay. So, the rubbing man.
Joe and Jack. So while the intellectuals go about doing this for the next hour, we'll cut to you.
Oh, no. Jack, what brings you out here besides the obvious? Money that bad?
Just pretty much the obvious. How's life in the Navy?
It sucks. I mean, we're in the middle of nowhere. We get one television station that's rebroadcast by somewhere in this base, and all the beer has to be shipped for months. It blows.
Yeah, plenty.
On the other hand, we now got a bowling alley, so there's that.
You have all the time in the world to study and think.
What is this strange voice I just heard from nowhere?
Galen is apparently an eavesdropper.
No, I'm sorry. I was just playing.
Get back to work or whatever you're doing. I'm in the Navy. My time is not my own.
As he drinks his beer.
And we play poker.
That's right. As we drink our beer and play poker.
All right.
So what do you make of this weird stuff? You think it's culturally appropriate?
I have no idea. Is it uncovered like this, or did you guys happen to do the damage at the top there?
We were just laying the ground for a few something or others. Actually, I don't really know what was on the plans for here. I just get my orders and I march to them. Build what's I'm given the plans for. It's probably going to be more barracks or maybe a landing strip. I don't know. It's pretty far off. So, now, Jack, you got a tiny, tiny plane, and I know about the weight allowances on them. How did you get everybody and their stuff onto that plane and into the air?
Carefully.
Must have been a headwind, right?
Yeah. Might need some more fuel before we head back, but that's for later.
Chargeable expense, of course, right?
Oh, of course. Of course. All expenses paid.
Has a chuckle at that. And we go back to playing poker. I was about to say Texas Hold'em, but I don't think that's popular at the time.
Not at the time. All right. So better part of the hour is over. You guys have documented quite well. And Professor Challenger has Harlow break out the archaeological tools. And he says, okay, we're going to start off just by brushing away surface dirt. Let's just expose a little bit more of these bones here. And you guys start doing that. A lot of the dirt had already been loosened by what the Navy men had been doing before. So, you know, you pull out a femur. It looks to be the size. It looks to be human. It's not an animal femur. Put it aside. We'll say Harlow. You start working on the skull. So the jawbone comes off. It's not intact. You notice that the canines that are still on the jawbone are oddly pronounced. Like they stand up a good inch above the rest of the teeth around it, both upper and lower. It looks like a little odd. Then you are unearthing the skull, and as it comes out, you can't help but notice that there are horns on the skull.
This must be some form of fabrication. Oh, I will take pause and see if there is some way that the horns were affixed post-mortem.
Okay, give me a roll. Seems like an intellect is what you're going with there. It could be focus.
I have intellect of 2, so that gives me net plus 1.
A net plus 1, okay. All right, as far as you can tell, looking through the inside of the skull, looking through the outside, the coloration, it all seems to be of one piece. I mean, if it's a fake, it's a very old fake. This is not some new pasted on, posted on. Like even the bone seems to be the same consistency of the rest of this, the skull. They're not very large. They stand up maybe 2 inches.
It's a regular human-sized skull, correct?
Yeah, does seem to be. Proportions are right.
A special note of it to the professor.
Yeah, with a plus 1, you're not able to tell if it was male or female with what you have. So other people are doing other things. Galen, you're working on bone too?
Yeah, bones. I'm interested to see whether or not I can tell race because... Okay. The Inuit, I believe, have a different structure than the Polynesian mm-hmm. people.
So go ahead and give me that intellect roll as you're working on this. Yep. And when you're unearthing like femur, looks like a hip bone.
My eye tries to rest on the bones, I see Sally. And the way she's holding that thing. She's holding it all wrong and fuck it screws all. Oh, wait. What?
You got a positive 1. Okay. Yes. Well, the first thing you notice is as you unearth the bone and you brush away the sand, it looks like you can remove it without causing any damage. And it's like a rubber chicken. Like you pick the bone up and it just kind of it's looks like bone, but it's like, it's like a piece of rubber. It just, how better to describe it? It just flexes and bends in your hand like you're holding onto a tube of rubber that's shaped like a femur.
Oh. That's disturbing.
And with a one, that's, yeah, it's so disturbing that you really can't think of anything else. Like, you're not able to figure out, oh, this is a male or female, what race it might come from. It's just, this is just too disturbing.
Well, then, yeah, that's the thing.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Sherry has focused her recording equipment on the images. Since you guys aren't able to take rubbings, she's just taking a slow pan across all the images while the other is drawing them out on the pad. She's an artist, so she's got a measure, trying to get the exact size right of each of the images.
Okay. I will say, hey, Sharon, take a look at this. It's weird. Uncommon epiphenomenon. Perhaps because of the coldness and the moisture.
Her eyes go wide at first, and then a smirk comes to her face, and she says, do your bones often do that?
Yes. Yes, yes, they do. As I wiggle my eyebrows.
Yes, there's some snickering at that. Professor Challenger takes, both Harlow and Galen have called. He goes over to Harlow first as you're showing off the skull. I did not call attention to mine. Oh, you didn't. Okay, so Galen, you did.
Yep.
He goes over and it's very odd. Environmental causes, possibly?
Well, given that the chemical structure of the bones are almost like rock, I would be amazed whether or not the pressure that was here was sufficient. Perhaps it was an ill diet, or perhaps a genetic mutation affected these particular locals.
Very odd, very odd. Document it all. Let's see if we can't take a sample of that bone. Pulls out a scalpel, a couple of vials, and he basically just, shaves off a little bit.
How easily does it shave? Does it shave like it's rubber, or?
It's actually more of a powder that comes off of it.
Oh, intriguing.
Mm-hmm. So you help him with that for a while. Yep. Jack and Joe, you guys are playing your game of cards, having some beers, and talking near the generator. Jack, you're actually sitting on the generator, as it was the easiest place to plant yourself. You feel it shudder beneath you just a little bit, and the lights and the heat attached to it kind of flicker for just a moment.
Okay, get off, give it a kick, check the fuel levels.
Hey, everything looks good. It's like a momentary hiccup.
Generators do that, so yeah. As long as it's got fuel in there, then it's just those things.
So Harlow, you said you were not drawing any attention to yourself. So what are you doing with the bones that you've unearthed?
Any other bones I get in addition to the skull, I'm putting with the skull in order to obscure its abnormality.
Okay. So sure, you're laying some other things on top of or around it. You're getting to the point where you're going to actually have to excavate to get anything further down. This is what you were just able to get by brushing off and just doing a little bit of scratch work on the surface. Everything else, and it looks like there are quite a few more bones, just kind of looking at the area. This looks like a debris field, like perhaps bodies were dumped here, maybe? But it's going to take some serious digging to get it anything further than what you've got here. Challenger, in the meantime, after the oddity with the bone was looked at, he has diverted his attention back to the stone, the obelisk, whatever it is, and he is slowly starting using his ice pick to chisel out around the bottom a little bit more to free up more of the dirt. Just tiny little taps here and there. He's trying not to disturb the feature too much, and it looks like the Rapa Nui-esque script it spirals around this obelisk, and it definitely goes further down into the ground.
Well, the debris that we're digging through, what is the consistency of it? Can we tell anything whether or not this is like a city that might have been burnt, or
with what you've already rolled, trying to figure out the site, it actually looks like it might be like a mass grave.
Okay.
But it looks like bodies were just kind of strewn about in many layers, like many geological layers.
Okay.
So this might be a burial pit of some sort.
Okay. So how many years am I estimating from the initial, from then to what we're finding?
You are going to actually have to do lab analysis for that. You're going to have to look at the strata. You're going to have to look at, you can't tell that just by looking, because there's no cultural artifacts here. That might be able to help place it. The only artifact you have is the strange script, which is, it doesn't belong here. This is not Inuit writing.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
But yeah, perhaps. You take samples, anything that you think might give you a clue as to age.
Okay.
Yeah. So the professor is paying a lot of attention to the base of this, and he's kind of got quiet for a while. He's put away his recorder. He's got out a large magnifying glass, and he seems to be, he's touching the pillar. It looks like he's pressing on parts of the pillar, mumbling to himself. The girls are continuing to record everything, including occasionally they will switch their cameras over to Joe and Jack as they're playing cards off to the side.
If the generator does act up, it's a Navy guy to have a look at it because he's an engineer.
Mm-hmm. It seems to just happen that, the one time so far.
Right. Okay. Well, if it happens.
Well, it's the smallest generator we have. Normally, for a case like this, we'd set up one of the big boys that we got. It'd be running smooth, no problem. But these small units, they're a little less reliable.
So after a bit, it's been a couple of hours now, Challenger gets up off the dirt, stretches his back, and says, well, I'm famished. I say we break for the day, take a look at the video recordings, see what initial impressions we get, huh? And we can send a report onto Sailor Chambers' commanding officer here as to whether or not we need to stay a few more days or if they're clear to go. This is quite fascinating, I must say. Perhaps with some of that machinery out there, we may be able to excise the stone.
Excise.
Incredible. Incredible.
It's an interesting word to use. Excise.
Oh, yes. It does quite resemble a tooth sticking out of a gum line, does it not? I'm thinking that extraction here.
Huh? No, it does. No, I look around. It's like, am I the crazy one here?
Looks like a window into the night to me.
Sealer Chambers, where can we get some grub around here? I'm famished.
Around here? Nowhere. Back at base? At the mall.
That would probably be a mess hall here.
Or your mess hall. Either one would be fine. The mall.
Well, we're at this. To be honest. Yeah, but we're not even near the mall. But what I'm getting at, we're at this dig site, which does this dig site have a mess hall?
No. Not at all.
That's what I'm getting at. Yep. We have to go all the way back.
Oh, that's fine. We've collected enough today. We have to work out what we're going to do going forward, see if there's anything culturally relevant in that strange text that young Galen found there.
Yes, I think I have my Rappaquamanic textbook at the I brought it with me.
Rapa Nui. It's R-A-P-A, separate word, N-U-I.
Oh, that seems like a Mr. Chambers is a scholar too.
Rapa Nui. Would Joe know that?
He might. Apparently he does.
I'm a sailor. I've been to the Easter Island.
Fair enough. Okay. Well, I'm gonna start chatting with the females about what we saw.
Yes.
Yes.
After they lead, I'll shut down the generator and lock it up.
They're very taken with your explanation of your limp bone. So
yeah, absolutely. I will joke and kid with them. I actually have a flair of two.
Oh,
yeah. I'm quite amusing.
All right. So we'll take up at the Pizza Hut in the local mall as you are enjoying a large pie. Professor Challenger, you have seen this before. When he is on to something, he gets particularly animated and hungry. So he has got pitchers of beer coming, and he's ordered several pizzas as you are enjoying your...
And what are the rest of us have?
Oh, you're all there, too. He's invited everybody. Yeah.
Nick got it.
Yep.
Big pizzas all around. There's a skating rink just outside. Joe, you kind of have to stay with them. You're their escorts, but hey.
So I'm not disco rollerblading at the moment?
If you wish to be. All right. So they're going over the drawings that the girls made, Tabitha made, and, you know, looking at them, it's like, yes, I see how you can, how you see a similarity to the Rapa Nui text, but there's definitely some deviations here. I don't believe, it's a shame we still don't know what the complete Rapa Nui language translates as. It is, perhaps it could act as some kind of key for this. Maybe it is an offshot.
Ooh, or perhaps we have found an earlier version, such that this might be a key to the Easter Island language. Perhaps we have a find, a significant find.
We may make the papers yet.
Et al. Challenger, and we get to be the et al. Yay!
Yes.
Yes.
So yes, pizza and beer is had. If you guys want a scene here, if not, Challenger is particularly magnanimous, and the beer and pizza flow for several hours.
Apparently this is a great Pizza Hut. It has beer.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of them do, still do.
Yeah, yours.
Yeah.
Oh, weird. All right, anyways. Yeah, no, I'm fine skipping past it for my...
All right, so you guys turn in. It's odd because
but
the sun's bowling!
Still yeah. Look, I have adventures. I must go to bed.
Yes. You're all quite worn out. You know, it's the sun... actually, you all have been in Alaska for a while, so it's not that bad. But the plane ride was unnerving, and you've been going for several hours today, so you... do feel a bit tired. So you all check back into the hotel. Joe, Challenger arranges for you to pick him up at dawn, good 8 hours away. Jack, Challenger is fine with you camping out on his couch in his room. There doesn't appear to be any other empty places in the complex right now.
It is. I drink myself into a stupor and go back to my lodgings.
Okay. Interesting that. Okay, so we're going to start with Joe then. Since you are drunk, as you have portrayed yourself that night, I would like you to make me a roll, and we're going to base this roll on, I think here.
Focus, because he's probably down a couple points for that at the moment.
No, actually, just give me a straight roll. Approach is not going to really help with this. Just give me a straight roll.
Ha-ha! Plus one.
Okay.
For a straight roll, not bad.
You're having a pretty good dream. You think you're in France. At least you think you're in France. You look out the window. You're in a small bistro. Eiffel Tower is in the background. You're having wine with a very attractive lady across from you here. She's got a very dark tan, pronounced cheekbones, very dark hair, wearing French fashions to what Joe might consider French fashions are at the time. I'm sure she has a beret on, for instance. And
thinking giant sunglasses and a giant sun hat and an ascot, naturally.
Right. So you're sharing a bottle of wine as you seem to be in the middle of a conversation where occasionally she will smile and laugh. And she's caressing your left hand while you're drinking with your right. And she asks you in an accented voice. Strangely, it's not a French accent. You can't quite place it, though. It's that dream logic. It's just, it is.
I don't think about it.
It's exotic. And she says, "Oh, Jojo, this is a wonderful place. Thank you for bringing me here. And what is it that you want out of?"
What I want?
Yes. Tell me what you really want, Joe.
I just want to get by and have a good beer at the same time. Right now, I'm doing just fine. You're here, got a drink. What more could I want?
Oh, it seems that you're a simple person, Joe. And not too much out of life. You don't expect too much. I see.
Just got to do the job. And, you know, things will work out.
And she's kind of stopped caressing the arm. And she's kind of moving her fingernails up and down across your wrist. You know, it's still pleasant. And she says, "Oh, Jojo, I'm afraid that you're just not suitable enough. But I have enjoyed the view." And you're not quite sure. You're a little puzzled at that. But you finish the wine and then you wake up. You still have a pounding hangover, but it was a good dream. So you wake up with a smile and you turn over in your bed and you feel something wet against your cheek as you lay upon your left arm.
What happened? Look at my left arm. Is it blood?
Okay, it's dark, but it's, you know, your arm seems a little bit wet, feels a little warm.
Well, I turn on the light.
Your left arm is lacerated, just from wrist to elbow on the inside, just these shallow cuts that just run up and down all across that arm.
And it's apparently shallow. Not painful.
You're not like any in danger of bleeding out.
Does it look like I attempted to take my own life?
No, not in the least bit. It looks like you got scratched from from wrist all the way up to elbow on the inside of your arm.
Multiple or just one long one?
Multiple. Multiple shallow scratches.
Claw-like pattern, perhaps?
Yeah, they're four long scratches.
Parallel?
Yes.
And they don't deviate. They're like straight. Perfectly straight.
Yep, perfectly straight.
So not like the cat scratches that are on my actual wrist. All right.
No, not at all.
This should hurt more. Doesn't for some reason. That's strange. Let me get some beer and sanitize this. The beer's for me, not for the sanitization. That'd be wasteful. Iodines for that. That's going to smart. I need medical right now, so I go see medical.
All right. Yeah, sure. You put some gauze on it and drunkenly go over to medical. You're still drunk.
It's not the first time.
The rest of you have gotten back to the apartment. You've been drinking all night. You're stuffed full of food. Jack, you're given the couch that does fold out into a day bed. Everybody is winding down. Harlow, how drunk are you? How much did you drink? And what are you doing before you turn in?
Fairly drunk.
Okay.
And therefore, whatever I'm doing, not very well. But let's see. We really don't have any plans. Because the professor's probably going to pass out shortly.
Oh, yeah. Professor was quite drunk. You guys were all having to help him get up the stairs.
In that case, I've got no one to steal ideas from. So I'll just set up in my bed.
Okay, good enough. Give me a roll. No particular approach, just give me a four die roll. Positive two. Okay, you are in high school, across from your guidance counselor, as she is looking at your transcript and looking at your choices of college that you want to attend to. And she shakes her head and says, Mr. Henderson, you've got some Ivy League schools on this list, and I just don't think you're Ivy League material. No, 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 I do not. She looks over the top of the jacket, the folder that she's looking at, piercing you with her green eyes. She's got very dark skin, high, round cheekbones, long, dark hair put up into like a very librarian-esque bun. What exactly do you expect to get out of life with scores like these, Mr. Henderson?
I'm certain that when I get into one of these choice schools, I shall excel to the... I shall find myself in the... assisting a learned man. And by doing that, I shall place myself firmly in the learned circles. And in that place, grab for myself some renown.
I see you understand how life works, Mr. Henderson. I am appreciative of that. Now, you do understand that a life like this that you want to lead, these schools that you want to apply to, this is all going to take sacrifice, deep, abiding sacrifice. Mr. Henderson, are you the kind of man that can make such deep sacrifices to get what you want?
Sorry, I'm going to do what I have to do.
Oh, do what you have to do. She has a beautiful smile, all white teeth, canine slightly enlarged. But it's a beautiful smile. I like what I'm hearing, Mr. Henderson. Yes, yes. Those that do get by, those that excel in this world today, do what they have to do. I think we can work with you, Mr. Henderson. And she has a very slender, dainty hand that she puts out to be shaken to you. Yes, I think we can work well together, Mr. Henderson. We can get you into the university and lifestyle of your dreams.
Most excellent.
And do you shake her hand?
Yeah.
Okay. As you do so, there's a tingling sensation on your palm. As she, you know, just firmly shakes your hand, and this beautiful smile and this dark-skinned featured face with the slightly pointed canines. And she says, but remember, Mr. Henderson, sacrifices must be made. And then the dream peters out, and you're still a little drunk. There's a burning pain in your left hand, in the palm. Like, feels like you've put your hand on something very hot.
Can I shake and blow it off?
Yeah, you do so. It subsides to like a dull throb after a bit.
All right. Use the last bit of alcohol in my system to go back to bed.
Okay. Galen, what do you do after getting back from imbibing much and eating much?
Well, I didn't imbibe as much. I value my intellect too much because that's the only thing I have. So I'm gonna see whether or not the girls and I can spark some ideas about what's going on with the language, whether or not there's any known deviations that I can find in between that and the Rappahannock.
Okay, so I'm gonna tell you what you're up against. They are both a little tipsy, although not fully drunk. Neither of them are in the mood to work. Feign wanting to go to sleep, but if you want to convince them otherwise, you can try.
I'm going to see if I can do some describing, like, of their names in the papers. And when it says, it's not going to say Challenger et al. It's going to say, Sandra et al.
Okay.
You're going to get the comfy chair and order the beer.
So that sounds like a guile move, a guile approach.
I was gonna try flair, trying to be.
So you're selling it then. You're selling it as a, okay, yeah, that makes sense. Sure, go ahead.
Two.
And I am going to make a roll for them. Okay. They're gonna resist this.
Come on now.
I'm just gonna do them as a total one. Okay. Yeah. Well, really, what we want to do is to get into television production. You ever see that show on TV called In Search of? Leonard Nimoy. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. There we go. All right.
Yeah, it's the big thing, man. People like to know about the strange and the unusual. And, you know.
And that rubber bone, pretty unusual.
Yeah, they both snicker at that again.
Yeah. All right. So that is what I am doing when I eventually pass out sleeping on one of my books as is standard for me.
Okay. So what's going to happen is, like, yeah, as you guys are going over this, Tabitha is the one succumbs more quickly. She falls asleep on the couch, head covered with papers that she was looking at. Sherry basically stays up longer with you, but she has somewhere found a case of Corona. And, so she's continuing to drink and kind of getting you to do so as well. You can resist that if you want, but it's more companionably like, well, I don't want to drink alone. And you know,
yeah. I'll have one beer to whatever, however amount she's imbibing. So,
okay. Okay. So she also falls asleep, in your area as well. Keep in mind that you're sharing the same bedroom with Harlow. Mm-hmm. But you got separate bedrooms in here.
Okay.
So actually, you guys are probably in the lounge area. So, like, think of each of your rooms as like a central lounge, and then you've got a couple of bedrooms off of it. So you guys are probably doing this in the lounge as this is going on. Mm-hmm. But eventually, you do fall asleep as well, and you're at home. Standing rigidly straight in front of your father's very impressive imported wood desk. Your father has his latest two hussies, as you see them, one on each arm, one lighting his cigar, the other filling his from a crystal decanter, his cup, not offering anything to you as well. I suppose, son, you have my last name. I've done a lot with the wayside name, son.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually I'll pass on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usual that all of this will go to my lineage.
Mm.
But I've got to say, Galen, son.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe you will ever live up to the wayside name. I mean, what do you wish to do in life, Galen? Your nose is always in books, in the clouds. What can a man do in this world with books?
Yes, what can a man do with knowledge? That is indeed a question that is worth asking. And I believe answers itself in the asking. He can do whatever the hell he wants to.
Hmm, that's pretty good. That sounded kind of forceful, too, did it not, to anywhere else?
Yep.
Yeah, give me a roll.
Sounded forceful to me.
Oh, give me a roll.
Yeah. I was expecting a roll, but yeah.
Yeah.
Damn it! Let me just make sure this character's force sucks. Yeah, it's not great. I will chip that, saying I'm better than that. Get to a plus two.
Meh. So you roll okay, zero. So what aspect are you tapping?
I'm tapping down a scion of an old family.
Plus two. Okay. So your father grimaces and is about to go into a tirade that he's done many times with you before, but the woman on his left side with the decanter gently puts a hand on his shoulder, and you notice the woman has very dark skin, high cheekbones, dark, dark hair, smiles down at your father and says, no, he's right. a knowledgeable man can go very far, can do whatever he wants to do. And she takes the glass from your father's hand and hands it to you, Galen.
Ah, this is better dream.
So a man with knowledge can do whatever he wants to do. What do you want to do, Galen?
I ultimately wish to make a change, a lasting, so that way man will always benefit from that which I know, and that I add to the ocean that is our knowledge, so that way we may be better.
The furthering of your species knowledge. It's odd how she says that, but it doesn't seem odd in the dream.
Okay.
Oh, that's a noble cause. Noble. I'm afraid you're perhaps not a fitting instrument. Nobility. Who would have thought? And she shakes her head in displeasure, and it's mirrored exactly. The same head movement is mirrored by your father in displeasure. And you wake up, and you have like the taste of vomit in your mouth.
Oh, well, beer cures that one. I have found that out in college.
Yeah. You reach over slightly drunkenly for one of the bottles of beer, and you find one, pop the top. Take a drink, and then you go back to your slumbers. Jack, how drunk did you get?
Not really. This wouldn't have been completely unusual, but it would have been more likely to hit on around rather than go back to Jack Dalton. I own my own play.
Yeah, Jack's an older guy too, right? You're not particularly young. So you can have a few beers, and it's not a big thing. All right, I'm going to make a roll. And what I want you to do is, essentially, this is a defense roll. And probably, I'm just going to make a roll, and I'm going to, go ahead.
Defense for seducing the ladies, it's not lucky. It's not like creep or anything about it. Yeah.
Nope, not that at all. Not that at all.
It's one of those things where, you know, the more people you try, the more about it, you know, when somebody says yes.
Just make me a four die roll. Just make me a roll with no particular approach.
Oh, yes, that sounds great.
Done. Right.
Okay. You happy with that?
Yeah. He got one of the rarest rolls. Complete blank.
No, okay. That's in fact the most likely roll to get zero.
Yep.
No, the result, yes, but not the actual 000 blank facing.
Yeah. All right, so come morning, Joe, you are bright and early, sun up, as the man said. You're the Jeep outside. No one's out there waiting for you, so you honk your horn. This does have the effect of waking up everybody in here because everyone else in the building are servicemen, and they're already at work. So, Jack, you wake up first, being the less inebriated. Yep, Galen.
And if I have to suffer with my hangover, so will they.
Yep. Galen, you come awake suddenly. A beer bottle drops out of your hand, half finished. Tabitha is snoring loudly on your left leg. Sherry is nowhere to be seen.
Oh.
Harlow, you come awake as well. Your hand is still throbbing.
All right. I will now inspect it since it's...
Yep. Looks like you burned your hand somehow. It actually looks like a woodcut owl, like an impression of an owl. You know, it's not very sharp. It might just be a trick of your own imagination. But it looks like you burned your hand somehow, and there's like a little glyph of an owl on your left hand.
Don't remember grabbing one of the pizza pans last night. I must have.
As all of you rush to get ready, to shower, to dress, Challenger has not come out of his room.
Well, I was, although I did stay up late, I am semi used to that. So I'm going to, after I make myself presentable, I will go and knock Mr. Challenger's door.
You knock once, the second knock, and the door kind of just swings open. It wasn't completely latched. It seems his bedroom is empty.
Okay. And I'm going to ask Tabitha to see if she can find Sharon. Sharon?
Sherry. Sure. She goes into her room, looks around, and comes back and says she's gone.
So the professor disappeared with Sherry. Or they both disappeared at the same time. I don't know which one of those two is worse. But we're...
For the characters on his team, is this a not again situation or...
you can write into that whatever you would like.
Okay, well, Tabitha, does Sherry have a beeper? Wait, no, we're not early for beepers.
Yeah, no range.
Yeah. Okay. Well, maybe we'll find them at breakfast. Can we search the room to see any indication? Maybe they left a note.
No, you do so. Tabitha puts out that some of Sherry's gear is missing. She's taken a coat, shoes, and a few other things that should have been in the room. You poke around Challenger's room, and you notice that he's missing a few things, too.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess... Hey, Jack.
Yes.
Did you notice anyone leaving last night?
No. I got another lane.
Maybe we should go up quickly to the site and see. Maybe the professor found something.
I checked my pockets for the keys.
Yep, still got them.
Yeah, well, he isn't in there. I got the keys still. So.
Well, maybe they.
He was excited. Perhaps he is surveying the surrounding area. See if there's any remnant of the.
As you said, though, breakfast could be. You could try breakfast.
Jack, as people are searching around, seeing what's missing, you have a sinking suspicion. Well, not suspicion, but you have a problem. Your rifle.
He was the one. What? No, I thought the problem was that he was the one paying the bill. Well,
your rifle's missing.
That's not good. It's my rifle.
I would say that further substantiates the idea that they have gone on their own to the outpost.
Yeah. I think it we go to the outpost. If they're not there, then we go get breakfast. How about that? And then we ask them why they ditched us.
Well, breakfast is closer. And then the outpost is all over there.
Yeah. But...
Hungry though I be, I think it pertinent for us to head straight to the site in case they are round and about, that we may make sure that they are of good health.
Yeah. I mean, they obviously, perhaps they got drunk and they walked out to the site and now they're, you know, passed out there. We can't leave a woman in such a condition, sir. I think everyone would agree with that, correct?
Barely.
All right, so let's...
All right, well, we need to find Joe.
He's out there. He's honking his horn.
Yeah.
I doubt it.
Yeah, no, he's still honking.
I'm sorry, you weren't hearing me?
Not with that hangover, you're not.
Yeah, fair.
He's a professional Navy man. He doesn't get hangovers.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah.
So it was brought to my attention that two people are missing and also a weapon.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be telling Joe that at least.
All right. Then everybody's staying here. Well, I have to do paperwork and call out the dogs because they're not supposed to leave anywhere without an escort, namely me.
The professor and, occasionally gets a little excited about his work.
Yeah, it, I mean...
Well, now he's going to get a little excited in the brig because I'm going to haul him there.
Joe, come on. We saw you drinking on the job. Come on now, Joe. Joe, it's not going to be like this.
Excuse me, it's going to be like this.
The professor...
Everybody come with me now or I have to... Or Joe? I'm authorized to subdue you and throw you in the brig because this is a military base and you are civilians.
Joe, look, no one's a secret communist here. Let's just take this.
What's the best way to subdue this guy that is continuing to mouth off?
You do have a sidearm.
Joe, if you want to, you want to avoid paperwork there, wouldn't you? So, you know. Let's just go right up there and have a look first.
We also can't prove that they don't have an escort until we found them and know that they do not.
That man is the only reasonable individual here. But you said your rifle is missing? Your bullet's also missing with that rifle? Bullets are also missing with that rifle?
Whatever was in the magazine, you still have a full box of shells. So, you know, there's probably 6 shots in the magazine.
Well, I'll still radio in to my immediate supervisor as I go over. There's a radio on the Jeep, I take it?
Yes.
Or no?
Yes. Yes, there is.
All right. I still have the Jeep. Because
you still have to requisition it for the missions.
I actually have to requisition my firearm each day.
Yep. Yeah, you have the Jeep, so you can call in a missing firearm.
And I call into my supervisor at the dig site. There's always people at the dig site?
Yes.
I call over to the dig site because I can save time with the radio.
We got eyes on the Quonset hut. No one's saying anyone came through here. You want me to check it out?
Yes.
Okay, hold
potentially
on.
The professor and an assistant went on ahead. See if they have an escort.
Hold on. I'll send a guy a couple minutes later. He says the lock's been broken on the door. Should he go in or not?
That would be negative. We will be on our way. Do you have armed guards at the moment?
Of course.
Then proceed in and arrest the individuals inside if they're still on premise.
Will do. You're heading here now. You're going to take control of this?
Yes. Lieutenant around?
Still sleeping. I'll notify him.
Do so. We'll be over with the rest of these guys.
Okay.
Everybody into the Jeep, and I drive them over.
Okay. You get there. And no one's there to greet you. You drive in, look around. You know, it was pretty active site yesterday when you came in. This is early morning. But there's no one around.
I use the radio and call in.
You hear the...
This is Joe Chambers to dig site. Anybody there? Respond.
Yep. So you're at the site now, and you hear your voice coming over from where the radio transmitter is.
Joe Chambers, and I give my designation, probably there's... Probably military parlance in there somewhere. Mm-hmm. And I call to base.
Yep. All right. You try to call base, and you're getting a lot of static on the line. You're not exactly sure they heard you, and there was no response back.
Base, come in. Over. There's no, I turn to the other people in the Jeep. There's nobody here.
Oh. Well, the Quonset Hunt store looks a little ajar. We should go over there. Perhaps see whether or not they might have been the professor has seen something amazing.
You're getting a little static-y there. Nick, I don't know if you're moving your mic or if it's hitting your beard or something. Okay.
No.
All right. I take a quick look at the site and look for altercations or drag marks, something. I mean, there should be
there's an awful lot of boot around. Marks heading up to that Quonset. Other than that.
Are we talking very celeste here with food just being left mid-eating and things like that? Or are we talking people who actually squared away stuff and moved up?
It looks like everything was like dropped in the middle. I mean, you're still seeing plates of food laying out.
Yeah, Mary Celeste.
I'm going to be...
A couple of MPs should not have... No, you stick with me. We're going back to base.
Right there. It's right there. You don't...
Well, that's a damn shame. We're going back that way.
Your people were here. I mean,
do you see my people right now? I am highly concerned, so I'm getting the entire backing of the United States Navy behind me before I go into there, because there was a good 24 to 80 people rotating through this dig site already, and they are nowhere to be seen. We're going back to base. You are staying with me. And,
pause for a second. You're ranting. While this is going on, Harlow. You're going to make me a defense roll. And your approach on this defense roll here.
Oh, okay.
Force, focus, or intellect, your choice.
There's also something I'd like to do but obviously after done is.
Sure. Yeah, and you may be able to interrupt things. I just need to know
what's going on. I don't think so.
All right.
I doubt my plan will do. Anyway, keep going. Go. We'll see what happens.
Okay. Are you happy with that, or do you want to tap anything?
I think I'm happy with that.
Okay. You're going to take Joe's gun. The emblem on your palm, on your left palm, starts burning, and you just have this desire to just grab Joe's gun. And the word in your mind from the dream last night just kind of echoes in your hand, in your head, sacrifice.
I've already taken sanity damage. I'll do it.
Okay. How do you grab his gun? He is in the middle of a spiel and yelling at everybody right now. So describe to me how you go for his gun.
Sorry. Are we still sitting in the Jeep?
No, everyone's standing out of the Jeep because
he's been looking around. I've been looking around a bit, so.
Yeah, I'll work my way to be standing beside him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And make as if I'm agreeing with him before slightly reaching down and yanking his gun out.
Sure. Sounds like a guile roll. Go ahead and roll me that. And Joe, you're probably going to be rolling reflexes. Or not, excuse me. Haste. As you feel what's going on.
So that would be reflexes would be quick, I would imagine, or haste?
Haste. Yeah.
All right.
I will tap the aspect fight dirty.
Okay.
You can wait.
Yeah, you can wait to see what he rolls first. All right, so
Nick, please mute.
Yeah, mute Nick. Maybe adjust your microphone. If it's USB, maybe unplug it and replug it. You're getting really staticky. Okay, so at this point, you're tied. So as the aggressor, Harlow, are you going to spend anything else? On a tie, on an action, yeah, it is basically you'll get a boost, but you don't get what you want. So you would get a bonus on your next action, but you wouldn't get what you want on a tie.
Yeah. I'll go ahead and spend the fate point on the fight dirty aspect.
Okay, put you at a 5 then. Joe, would you want to spend anything?
Sure, I will likewise spend a fate point.
You tapping what aspect?
Tapping the Joe Schmo trying to survive.
Yeah, somebody going for your gun would be survival for sure. So that builds you both at a 5. Back to Harlow. You going to tap anything else, Harlow?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and hit conniving research aid.
Conniving research aid. Well, you are conniving. You're using guile. I would give it to you. I would put you at a... Are you going to do a +2 or do you want to reroll?
Take the +2.
Okay, that's a 7. So back to Joe.
Well, I'm not particularly drunken CB would apply, so, and I don't have anything else.
Okay. Describe how you get the gun.
Is my hand telling me what to do after I get the gun?
No. This was just like, it was just a flash desire to do this. And then the words sacrifices must be made is kind of going through your head from the lingering dream.
All right. I'll take it out, flip it, put it to my side. All right, now that we are all on even footing, let's have an actual discussion about this.
Pause right there. So Harlow's just taken Joe's gun and is leveling it at him. Jack, you were going to do something.
Yeah, I was looking for a gun myself.
Oh, yeah. Sure, that's easy enough. Look in any tent and there are firearms.
Yep. My intention before I saw Mr. Trigger Happy there was to fire it into the air to signal someone, but now I might be rethinking this.
Okay, so I'm going to say you got your gun just as Harlow took the gun from Joe. You can either make people aware that you have a gun or not. Up to you. So, Joe, how are you reacting to this? You're now having a gun leveled at you.
All right. Now, the Navy generally has fewer guns than the Army and doesn't just leave them lying around, do they, on Navy bases?
Here would have been armed.
Really? So, at a dig site?
Yeah, because, again, wildlife. It's a problem.
All right, fair enough. Well, I go to subdue him. I will beat him down.
Okay, so...
Because that is what I am instructed to do.
Can we pause for just half a second?
Yeah.
I thought I relayed that I put it to my side. Am I doing something I didn't know I was doing?
Oh, no, so you put it to your side. So you're not pointing it at him.
Okay, no, I'm not pointing at him.
Okay, so you just have the gun.
I have the gun.
All right, and you go ahead and say your spiel again.
All right, now that we are all on even footing, let's have an actual discussion about this. And I will be backing away from Joe.
Okay.
So that he can't lunge and take me out with.
All right. So he's not brandishing the gun at you. Does that change what you're doing, Joe? Okay.
No, he took a gun from me. That is an act of aggression. And, well, it's an attack and undermining of the authority of the situation. The rules of engagement are clear, and I have to attack him.
Okay. Who has the highest haste rating between everyone here? How the turn order goes. So, Jack, what is your haste rating?
Average.
Okay, Joe.
2.
All right. Which is fair. Yep. And Harlow.
1.
Also average. And Galen. You can unmute yourself. Hopefully, you still hear us.
Yeah. I'm an average man.
You're also average. Okay. Interesting. Tabitha's good. So okay. She goes first.
I should have got to know Tabitha better. Damn it. Why did I waste my time?
Okay, so you're all are kind of involved in what's going on in this confrontation here. So Tabitha does something. Joe, you tackle Harlow. That sounds forceful to me, so give me a force roll.
Will do.
Ooh.
3.
All right. Harlow, you are defending. How do you wish to defend? There's a couple of options here.
I'll be backing up and trying to make him guess which way I'm going.
Sounds like haste, being quick and dexterous.
I'll guile, but I'll take haste if I have to.
You want to be clever about it? So describe it a little bit more then. Maybe you're using your environment. Like getting things between you and him.
Well, he's trying to faint me. He's trying to juke it the other way.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I'll take guile for that. You are trying to... Yeah, sure. All right. Tied up.
Succeed so with attack the cost. Action,
if you tie, attack doesn't harm the target, but you gain a boost, so you do not get a hold of him. But you do have an advantage of some sort, and you can dictate that however you want.
Unless you want to spend chips. You want to spend chips.
Yeah. If you got something you want to spend a chip on. I would certainly take the fact that you're a Navy man as a thing for this. Yeah.
The scene hasn't refreshed, so all the other ones tapped.
Mm-hmm. I'll save it at the moment. We all had 3 starting out, right?
Yes.
I will take just apply an aspect to him. That being on his back foot.
Well, you don't get to apply an aspect. You just have a boost. It just gives you a bonus. Just for a boost. Your next, yeah. On a tie, it's just a boost.
Then I will take the boost.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you were in the action. So we'll do your action first, Harlow. How to react to that. So he made a grab at you, just misses, but maybe you're off center just a bit or something. Well, how do you react? It is your turn.
Fast talk. Dear sir, I believe my intention with this action has been misconstrued. I merely am from an academic circle in which ideas are shared between equals. And that was something I was hoping to restore in this situation.
Okay. Pause there. I may make you roll, or I may not, depending on how other actions form, because it will take you a while to say that. Jack, what would you do?
Keep the fact that I've got to fire myself concealed, but just watch what's going on, because I don't know what the heck Harlow's on about making this a fair system. Him having the gun makes it a fair trade across people.
Okay. Galen, what are you doing?
That you, Nick.
Ah, Don. Yes, it is me. I was reading about boosts. I'm looking horrified and going, can we not fight? Can we not do that? Can we all calm down? You know, I don't know quite what to do in this situation.
Okay. All of you now notice that Tabitha had backed away from the conflict, and she is running up the hill towards the Quonset hut. Okay, so now this is going to be between Joe and Harlow. So Harlow is kind of, you know, putting up a hand up and give his spiel, trying to calm you down. What's your reaction, Joe? Also keep in mind, you do also notice that the girl is running up towards the Quonset hut.
The girl does not have a gun that was stolen from me, so she has to be let go at this moment. So I have to now continue to attempt to disarm Harlow of the wrongfully seized weapon.
Okay, so you're... okay, I don't generally like to do persuasion attacks against PC NPCs, or PCs versus PCs, but in Dresden, it is a thing that is possible to do. First of all, what is your negative factor, Stephen?
Drunken CB.
Okay, drunken CB. Okay.
Assuming you meant my trouble and not my lowest stat. Yeah,
your trouble. Okay. Harlow, you're trying to make a convincing argument. Go ahead and give me a roll. Okay. Joe, you are going to sort of defend against this. I am not going to say it's going to dictate your action, but I just want to see what's going on here. So he's trying to make a reasoned plea with you. Go ahead and give me a roll using what approach that, force is probably the, since you're you're trying
the
to...
rules of engagement are clear. He yeah. stole a weapon. It's, you know, it's on.
Yeah. Okay.
Debating the point comes after the engagement is over, not during, you know, while sure. you have to follow your orders. So, yeah.
so go ahead and use a roll of force.
Aha!
Okay.
And now I'm going to smack him down.
Okay, and then hold on a second. Harlow, if you want, this is the thing that's different in Dresden than in some of the other ones. If you want to compel one of his aspects and you still have a chip to increase your how this is your speech is going to affect him, you can pass him the chip if he wishes to accept it. Actually, you don't get the choice. Yeah, if somebody's tapping one of your aspects to the negative, you got to take it. So you saw him drinking yesterday on duty. Do you? And I'm just highlighting this as a thing that's different in Dresden. Okay, guys. So I'm just kind of pointing out that something that can be done here, PC versus PC. Do you want to bring that up in your patter? That hey, you know, gonna. Well, I'll just leave it at that. Do you want to try and use a negative part of Joe's character against him in this?
If I wasn't down to one fate point, I might do it.
Mm-hmm.
But so
you're gonna let it pass. Okay. Yeah. So Joe, with that too, definitely you can act however you would like. Your motivations are clear. You know what you need to do. And again, new round, and you first, unless Jack wants to. Or Galen wants to react, since we're both basically just waiting. Joe, you're clearly lunging for Harlow again.
I am going to go after the girl.
Okay, good enough. So Joe and Harlow's thing will happen first, but then you'll run after the girl. Jack, you want to interrupt? Joe's definitely going to try and take Harlow down. It doesn't seem like he is being swayed by words.
Yeah, I'm not particularly on Harlow's side at this point.
So you're just holding back with the hidden gun.
Yeah.
All right, Joe. Try to grab him again. You have a plus one from your boost.
Is it only plus one from the boost?
Actually, it might be a plus two.
Plus two would be a whole fate point shift, so I would think it would just be a plus one.
I thought it was duration. There was difference between boost and
aspect. No, boosts do add a plus two to the roll, but they
just have to be used. They're fleeting. They have to be used quickly. Yep. So plus two for the boost.
So plus two makes a.
You're now able to read him a little bit better, and you know how he's going to move now.
Yep. So I got a four effectively.
Okay. So Harlow, he's lunging at you again.
Just trying to distance myself.
Okay. Same way you were doing it before.
Wish I had. I'm just going with taste this time.
Okay.
A six if I had them dial.
So your total is a three?
Yep.
To my four.
And so you get them. Well, I'll say, so you make contact and you do one shift worth of, you know, basically restraining to him. So he's got a hold of you. Not a great hold. One box you can definitely take. So you guys are... Yeah, so Joe, you've got a hold of Harlow.
I would like to spend a fate point to say Drunken CB includes military training to get it to a full shift over him.
You've got a shift of one, so you're going to get two more shifts for a total of three shifts?
Yep. Is that with style or no?
No.
Do I need three for that?
Yeah.
Well, it's plus three, so doesn't that succeed with style?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, it gets you. You already had a plus one, so yeah.
Yeah.
It gets you a
plus. So I would like to succeed with style.
Okay.
Okay. So your attack inflicts damage to your target equal to your shifts, with the option to sacrifice one shift to gain boost.
Yep. So you it's essentially it's just you're doing three.
No longer put an aspect on.
No, an attack.
Well, I was actually... I'll leave it at the plus one then. I'll save my drunken CB foo for another time.
Okay, and this is where Galen breaks off and goes running after Tabitha, who now has opened the door and gone into the Quonset.
Ooh.
Galen, since you've gone running after Tabitha, you now can see that the Quonset hut a little bit better, a little bit closer. It's riddled with bullet holes.
Oh, no.
Was the Navy man now seeming to talk sense?
No, you weren't, because this is where the adventure is. I'm not playing this game so that my character can go home and live a long life. I want to know what the hell happened. So thank you, by the way, for attacking the crazy Navy man. All right, moving on.
All right. So Harlow, it would be your turn. Yeah, so he's grabbed you, but he didn't put an aspect on you, so you're not actually bound, but he has inflicted a little bit of damage on you. And pounding in your head now is just drumming to this, the beat of your heart is the word sacrifice, sacrifice. The gun in your left hand, you're not even sure why it's in your left hand. You're right-handed. Wants to level and blow out Joe's brains.
Oh no. That's a little far.
You're still in control, but you have the urge. So what are you doing, Mr. Henderson?
We're playing like life force. I was trying to fight if I figure out if I can do this in some. Yep, that'll work. All right. He doesn't have me in grapple, but he is pretty much
right.
At me.
Yeah, he did not put a aspect on you, so you're not grappled. But he is very close to you. So like he's closed with you, done you a little bit of damage.
All right. I didn't stand no chance. Just take your gun back. And then level and shoot him.
Oh! With guile. Shooting with guile. Good job.
Still only got a freaking 3.
Yep. All right.
The dice do tend to go to 0.
Yeah. So you're defending. This sounds like haste to get out of the way as he's. But.
Well, I'm close, so. And we're tussling.
You could use force. Yeah, you could try to just push the hand away with force instead.
But I would think that he has to make sense that it's not a surrender, right? I mean, if you're attacking with guile, I guess.
I see it as like he's raising the gun, like hand out with the pistol in the palm of his hand, but then at the last minute, he turns it and fires.
Yeah, that's what I was saying was.
Yeah.
I'll say focus because I'm keeping my eye on things. I'm doing the process of bringing them down. You're
cutting through.
I'm sure they do some gun disarms as well.
Yeah. Sure, you're cutting through his bullshit. You notice that he's flicking his hand right at the last minute because you're very focused on it. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. All right. It's a tie. So as it stands, you're going to shoot and miss, but you'll have a boost on your next action, Harlow. But it goes to you first. Are you going to increase that or are you going to let it stand?
I would argue that the gun goes click because I don't carry one in the chamber of a what would presumably be a M1911.
Nope. By regs, you would, in fact, because of the threat.
Oh, that's the actual regs?
Yeah. Yep.
Whoa.
You would, in fact.
That's dangerous.
So wolf at your throat.
Yeah. Harlow, you actually have an aspect that you can tap now, which is a sacrifice must be made.
I mean, perhaps he should get a chip for actually following the voices in his head, Bert.
Yeah, if I survive.
Yeah, I'll give that. You'll get it at the end of the scene because that's how tapping a negative aspect works. So he can't use it here, but if he survives, he gets it at the end of the scene. You do have an aspect on you, though, that you can tap because there's something in your head that wants you to kill this man.
Sacrifice must be made.
Yep.
Wonderful.
All right, spend your last chip. and that makes it a 5. And it's up to you, Joe. You want to spend it on anything. You've already tapped Navy Man this scene, so you can't.
Actually, I revoked that tap of that. But
you did. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you did. You're right. That's right.
I'll just take the 2 shifts. How much can we take as NPC characters?
I believe it's
as
2.
As strange as that sounds, because we're actually playing them.
Yeah, I think you can only take 2, and then you have to take consequences after that. The special ones, which are in peril and doomed. Yep. So you can hold 2 boxes, which would be the 2 shifts of damage.
I'm looking at these sheets. And that's because of being minor characters, right?
Yeah. Yep.
For the listening audience, it seems guys are regular
not,
characters
you guys are
have
not
more
like main characters, right? You guys are like NPC chode boys.
Okay, so I've already got 1 on him. He's got 2 on me now, and I have to counter.
Okay. Well, not your turn yet, though. So he shot you. You've been winged.
I would say he grazed me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, 2 is significant. You can't take any more damage without taking a consequence.
Yes, so, but I mean, it's also just stress and not an actual consequence.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. So meanwhile, Tabitha had ran in into the Quonset hut. Everyone hears a blood-curdling scream that suddenly cut off, like mid-scream. Galen, are you going to continue to run in there?
I am going to look at curiosity kills the cat, and I'm a cat. So let's what went wrong? I'm going to look.
What about satisfaction brings it back? Finish the quote.
No, I'm going to die here. So.
And you see a bunch of Navy.
Satisfaction does not bring it back. Not ever.
You look in, and lining the edges of the Quonset hut, there are several of the Navy men still wearing like their T-shirts and BDUs and weren't fully dressed. Looks like there was a furious shootout in here. Looks like they were shooting each other. But what really gains your attention is on the top of the obelisk spire, Professor Challenger is pierced with it going through his back, through his stomach, as he splayed out across it. Still alive, apparently, mumbling. His eyes look like they've been torn out and bleeding. And it just the whole pillar is just, his blood is just dripping down the whole pillar. The Rapa Nui type of text is like pulsing. It's like pulsing to his heartbeat. You know, you're seeing the spurts of his blood coming out of his chest cavity, and the text is kind of lighting up as each spurt goes. It's kind of in time to his chest beat. The lights in here are the generators off, and you're only seeing this by the light that's being put in through the door. You don't see Tabitha anywhere.
Okay. I'm going to go run for an adult. I'm going to say, guys, the professor, he's gravely wounded in here. He needs some help.
Okay, how do you guys react? It will be Joe first. Actually, I'm sorry, we didn't do everybody. So, Jack, are you still standing back and doing nothing?
I'm going to do something at this point.
All right. Yeah. So, what are you doing?
Get up, step to the side of F2 to clear line of sight at Harlow. I'm going to say, put it down. You don't need this. Put it down now.
Okay. So, Jack, Joe, apparently Jack also has a firearm, which he has leveled at Harlow, who's just tried to shoot you. Did shoot you, but it was a graze. Okay, so there we go.
Jack's my boy.
That's the setup. So, Joe, how are you reacting to this? Galen is screaming that someone's injured up here. Harlow has now got a gun in hand, which he obviously was ready to use. Did use.
Does he get a roll for intimidate attack or anything like that?
Not yet, because that'll happen last round. You're the beginning of the round. So in other words, he hasn't had a chance to react yet.
Can I put forward a concession?
Yeah, you can concede any time. What do you want to do?
Get the gun, so long as I don't end up dead at the end of this scene.
Oh, I can't guarantee that, boy.
Yeah.
Well, I can guarantee not dead at the end of me fighting you.
Yeah. No, you can concede at any time. So if you want your character just to drop the gun, you can do that now. That would be fine.
Yeah.
Okay, so Joe, he drops the gun. What do you do?
I get the gun back.
Okay. Harlow, it's really hard to think. This is pounding in your brain, the word sacrifice over and over and over. The scar on your palm is just, it's just throbbing with this going on in your head. You're still in control, but it's hard to think. Joe, you have the handgun. Galen is screaming at the top of his lungs that the professor is gravely injured. Jack, you're still leveling a gun at Harlow?
Well, if Harlow's dropped the gun, then I assume Jack's going to go for it. Joe's going to go for it.
Yep, Joe's picked it up.
I'm going to then go for the cheek to take that out.
Okay. Also, Harlow would be getting another chip at the end of the scene for conceding as well, just to keep track of things. Okay, so what are the three of you doing? Galen's yelling bloody murder there.
That's why I want to have the Jeep up, because if anything needs to happen, we'll have a Jeep there and that's easier to travel things with. Because I picture us sort of being down around here, and this is the hut's up here, so I want the Jeep up here.
I tell Galen to shut up.
Professor is, he's impaled. Need some help.
What about Marianne?
I look directly at Harlow. And it's like, turn around onto your knees. I will restrain you with handcuffs. Be the end of it. You'll go on the Jeep. We'll go back to the base. I'm going to inspect that guy to see about this injury. Just turn around on your knees. Be restrained.
While you're doing that,
doesn't need to be more violence.
While you're doing that, Galen, make me a roll with haste.
Can I choose not to do that thing?
Well, you can choose to fail.
Yeah, you can choose to fail.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't have to choose to when the dice are going to make.
So Joe has yelled out, shut up, or whatever he said. And as you go for a rebuttal, you are yanked into the Quonset hut. And yeah, so all of you hear him like mid-yelp. He's just yanked into the Quonset hut.
Let's see.
New plan, run for your life. Go to the Jeep.
I would have taken the Jeep and going to the hut.
I mean, you're coming to us with the Jeep then.
No, I figure you're down there in the tents with me. That's where we all were to start with, because you come here to try and find someone.
Yeah. Yes.
And the Quonset hut's up over here. So I took the Jeep from here.
Listening audience, he's doing a distance of, I would say, 50 yards.
I don't know, whatever.
Yep. So while you guys are considering what you're doing, Galen, something long and tentacular has whipped around your waist and has just pulled you to the ceiling of the Quonset hut, where it's completely just inky blackness. It's digging into you. Whatever it is has sharp claws or talons on the tentacle, and it's really painful. It's gripped around your stomach and your back. It's holding you very tight. And there's a voice in your head. And again, it sounds like the exotic woman in your dreams. In the dreams coming back very sharply again. And it's saying, last chance. What do you want?
To live?
Okay. It'd be just before you can even amend that thought. You hear, done.
Oh, good.
And then something invades your consciousness.
Okay, so
all right, what are you guys doing?
Oh, still what I'm doing. Joe is restraining Harlow. I've taken the Jeep.
Okay. Jack, you jump in the Jeep, and you go on up to the Quonset hut.
Now you can see the bullet holes that are riddling sides of the Quonset hut.
Yep, so I'll get up there and have a look inside.
Yep. Yuuzhi Challenger still alive somehow. Probably not for long, though, as with the beat of his heart, there's a spurt of blood that's running down the pylon. And you see all the Navy men dead around. Looks like they had a gunfight with each other in here.
Now I'll turn and run away.
Prudent thing to do. All right. Yeah. Make me a roll with.
With.
Haste. Okay. Are you satisfied with that or no?
I'd have to blow two chips.
You don't have to blow one. If you did a plus two, you would tie, which means they don't get what they want.
Yeah.
Or you can do a reroll and hope for something better.
I'll be grabbed.
You'll be grabbed. Okay, yeah. Something flicks out.
But I'll throw the gun. Ha-ha.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And you're drawn into the Quonset hut, too. Joe and Harlow, you're too engaged with each other to notice, although you did notice Jack drive off with the Jeep. Harlow is giving you no problems. He's conceded for the scene, so he's allowing himself to be bound up.
So I have him handcuffed. I turn to where Jack took the Jeep. Is it the only Jeep around?
No, there are other Jeeps.
Do I see him get grabbed?
No. Yeah, you're too busy. But no one's around the Quonset hut now, although you can see the Jeep up there.
Did I hear him yell?
Nope. Didn't sound like he yelled to me.
but I did hear all the previous yelling.
Yes.
Yep.
I turned to Harlow and like, all right, you dumb kid. Apparently I'm just about to save your life. Let's get the hell out of here. Hopefully Jack's somewhere.
Oh, man, that's some cold-blooded stuff.
Okay, you know, this works fine for the end of this. So, Joe,
you'll probably hear gunfire briefly from inside.
Oh, no, we'll take that in a second. But, Joe, okay. You're loading Harlow into a Jeep, and you're saying, we're getting out of here. Okay, so, Jack, you're pulled into the darkness as well. Let's see, what was your dream? Did you have one?
I didn't have one.
You didn't have one, that's right. One. Yeah.
Oh.
So you brought him into the darkness, and you hear whispered in your left ear. You know it's not a language that you understand, but somehow you understand it. It's distinctly feminine in nature. And it's telling you, and you still have your gun gripped in your hand, but it's completely black up here in the ceiling of the Quonset hut. You can't see anything. And so the voice tells you, it doesn't have to end, Jack. What do you want in life, Jack?
At this point, I'm just going to say I'm too scared to do anything, but just randomly shoot.
You start shooting. Okay, give me a roll. Since, like, you're in full fear mode, I'm thinking maybe forceful, because that's just kind of a brute reaction to things.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, okay. Sure.
Two.
What's your modifier? Forceful is zero?
Yeah.
Hey, wow.
I would argue that he's hastily doing it.
Jack, you drop from the ceiling. You don't know if you hit anything or not, but apparently it was enough of a distraction that you were dropped. So you drop near Challenger, just as, you know, he gasps his last, do you believe? And your Quonset hut's still open. You're just feet from the door.
Okay, I'm going to run out and continue to sort of shoot blindly behind me to sort of fend off.
Joe, you've got Harlow loaded up into the Jeep. You're gunning the Jeep, getting ready to go, and shots behind you. You see Jack getting out of the Quonset hut, quickly moving backwards as he's firing shot after shot after shot into the Quonset hut. You do.
I pressed the button to talk. I yelled, "Jack, get on!" And I wait barely enough time for him to run towards us, and as soon as he has any sort of grip, I'm taking off.
Okay.
I just had a thought. How self-sacrificial am
I? It's up to you.
Yeah, I'm going to do this purely because it's a one-shot thing, and okay, this character's not going to survive. My plan, so you can tell me how well it's going to work there, is there's a jeep that I've driven up right by there. Drive the jeep into the hut and try and shoot the jeep so it blows up when I'm inside.
I like it. All right, you're not being hindered. I mean, your chest is pounding. You don't know if whatever's out there is going to come out or not. But you get you turn the jeep on. You stick a brick down on the gas pedal, and you get it, piling in. So, Jack's doing something. Joe, are you going to wait for him, or are you just going to get out of there? You have no idea what Jack's doing, but he's doing something with the jeep, with the other jeep. So, Joe, are you cutting out of here, or are you waiting to see what happens?
I grumble, and I'm not a Marine, so men get left behind. But
you charged a man with a gun.
Who's got it?
And I said, but I turned the jeep towards Joe, and I'm going to be his getaway driver because he's planning something. It's obvious that.
Okay, so you're waiting then to see what happens, okay?
Well, I'm putting myself in an opportune place for him to jump on.
Okay, sure. So so you get the jeep running into it. You're going to try and shoot it. You also know that there's a generator full of diesel fuel in there as well.
Yeah,
completely. So what I'm going to have you do is, this is for the shot. This is to see if you can get the whole thing to spark off and explode. That sounds like focus to me, but if you can make a case for anything else if you would wish.
The only one I'm going to increase is if I try and use guile, which I don't really see.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, okay. Is fear better than... Hey, fear. Actually, I would have thought this was almost an intellectual approach to try and work out how it all comes together.
Sure. Yeah, that'll work.
Fair.
Go for it.
It's better.
And intellect also covers quick thinking.
For it all to work out, for a terrific explosion to happen here, I want to see at least a good result. Here you go. You got it. There's an incredible explosion that rocks the top of the atoll here. And so now we're gonna cut scenes. It's now 1984, 4 years later. Your real characters are now in the Hunter's Lodge. It's basically local rustic country club bar set up to look like an actual Hunter's Lodge. All of you were sent here by, well, basically the powers that be to look into an incident. You were all asked to meet here, and a young man walks in, Harlow. Your left hand, you now keep continually in a bandage, as the glyph that's on there, you have tried many times over the years to remove, but it always seems to come back, and it bleeds for several days. The only time you get relief from the pressure in your brain is when you're able to get it off of you. Burn it off, tear it off, burn something else over it, something.
I'm surprised he hasn't just cut his hand off.
Hey, you might have tried that, but look, the hand's back. So periods of relief are bought at the expense of a great deal of pain to push back the voices in your head. So, Harlow, over these past 4 years, you did spend some time in incarceration, but as the problem that arose that day on ADAC was quickly hushed up, charges against you were not overly lasting. Your family had good connections with lawyers, so you were eventually released. During this time, you still occasionally get these dreams of the exotic woman.
trying to offer you deals, and you've done, since you are a research person and you've done some research over time, you've come to understand sort of what it is. And you realize that you are a conduit for these forces from beyond that have been sealed away and are now breaking through. Through some of your contacts, you've been told if you go to a certain bar in Juneau, order a certain drink, some people will eventually find you, and you can tell your story to them, and they may be able to help. And so that's where we find ourselves today, is the man who has just come in and has ordered a mojito.
That's how we know.
That's how you know.
He gets served tequila, of course, but, you know, he ordered a mojito.
We have tequila.
Right. And so, yes, we will. That's how we're going to kick the campaign off. So we're going, the lights will fade there as Harlow begins to tell you his tale.
Yay!
So, wow, we had some survivors that may show up
I
after this.
I survived. I didn't see it.
So
you're welcome.
Jack with the seaplane is definitely probably going to have show up here and there. Galen, you are walking darkness in the world right now.
Absolutely, I am. That's why I was gonna stay with the same one, but I don't think that would be as interesting. So,
yes, you asked to live. You didn't ask to live as yourself.
No, I didn't. I was very particular with my demand there.
Yep. If you'd given him a drain, Jack would have been entirely on board, but you didn't, and you kind of panicked a bit. And when push comes to shove, he does try to do the thing. So.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Joe will have to be dragged out of a bar if he gets found.
Yep. I actually left Jack out of it because he never really approached the area. He stayed near the generator. Joe, I gave a dream just because Joe is the type of character that is, well, that the presence thought might be a weak-willed enough to, yeah.
To and he's on. Been in the area for such a long time that even not being close would still be enough to sort of get into a much of time.
So there's our inciting incident for this first arc in the campaign is the, yes, the outer darkness is pressing in and has found a breach in Alaska.
All right. Well, there we go. Thank you for running, Bert. It was enjoyable. Cool. I appreciate that you murdered yet another one of my characters. Yay.
Oh, come on. Galen is now like the walking evil.
I know. He is.
He's going to be cool.
I'm going to live forever. Oh, yep. Wait.
That's right. He didn't murder you. He did something worse.
Oh, yes. Yes. I may actually have you play Galen in his new position at some point.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. Yeah. Well,
all right, guys.
Probably going to hunt Joe down and kill him in a bar. Where
no, why would I? I mean, don't concern yourself with the fly.
Yep.
Gentlemen.
And I'll say one other thing. Since Harlow may actually come into play as something more than an info dump, if you want to develop Harlow as a backup character, Michael, please do. You're going to start off with you're marked by the outer darkness as an aspect that you're pinned with. But you're welcome to flesh him out as a normal character.
Set him up as immortal, I guess.
Yes. You might even have gotten to be a minor practitioner at this point because you do now have a physical bond to. To the other side, so that may have represented into some kind of magical power, probably a focused practitioner versus a full. But if you wanted to go that route, you could.
I think with accelerated, they don't make that distinction here, but I'll look at the.
And Steven, if you wanted to have Joe be something more interesting now, he could have gotten out of the Navy in the 4 years and he could be on the police force or something else. You could do that if you want. And Jameis, definitely go ahead and fill out Jack, because I'm sure if nothing else, he's going to be transportation for some things. Mm-hmm. Well, guys, I know this isn't our regular campaign with the characters that you made, but I just thought it might be fun to have to kind of show the incident that's sparking these things off.
Absolutely. It seems like these Rappaquiddick people, we're glad that they no longer exist, basically.
Rappaquiddick is a whole different thing.
Oh, Rappamanakit? I get confused.
Yep. It's interesting language, actually. Historically, most of their writing was destroyed because they used it for fuel, because most of it was done on wood. So there's actually very few remaining articles of Rapa Nui text.
Their entire culture got completely screwed over because they were so busy trying to make the statues to praise that they just screwed over their entire economy.
Yeah, pretty much. All right, guys. Yeah, it was fun. So, you know, we're going to try to shoot for every other week, jumping between this game and Pink Smoke, and we'll see how we go. We're going to do a story arc in each, and if one survives past that, then more power to the surviving game.
Yay! All right. Thank you for running, Bert. Had a good time, gents. I'll talk with y'all later.
Night, guys.
Bye. Bye.
The music in this podcast was created by Kevin MacLeod. The tracks Rising Game and Fast Talkin' can be found on his website at incompetech.com, along with many other great tunes. The web home for this podcast can be found at ofsteamsteelandmurder.simplecast.fm or at bluemagic.com. The podcast has several social media connections, Facebook, Google Groups, a Discord channel, and Twitter. Links to all of these can be found on our homepage. Thanks for listening.